How does an elder manage his time so that he is able to shepherd? All elders, not merely the paid full-time elders, share in the shepherding responsibility. The question is, how do these men who have their own families and full-time jobs find time to do this work? I'm Bart Schoaf. I'm a father of three with experience in pastoral ministry and radio ministry.
And I am Eric Wallace, president of the Institute for Uniting Church and Home. We are here today with Pastor Ben Taylor. I have known Ben for almost 30 years of his ministry as a pastor and church planter. He is currently the associate pastor at Timonium PCA in Timonium, Maryland. He is passionate about discipling people into the gospel. Ben and his wife Tracy have three adult children. Today, Ben is going to help elders look at how to maximize their time so that they are freer to shepherd. First question, Ben, if an elder can do one thing to help with time management, what is the most important thing he can do?
Well, Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the tools that he talks about there is not simply prioritizing your schedule, but scheduling your priorities. So many years ago, I took upon myself that task of looking at what are the things that I absolutely have to get done every week in order to accomplish the work of ministry I've been given. So I identified about 12 to 15 things that have to be done, and those things had to be scheduled first so that it gave me free time to, when emergencies arose or when something unexpected happened, it wouldn't detract from my getting done the very necessary things that I had to get done. And so I found that little way of organizing my time has been incredibly helpful. Also, in Ephesians 5, Paul says there that we are to make the most of the time that God has given us, to redeem the time because the days are evil. And when you look at what that word redemption refers to, it actually has the thought of making investment, like a stock investment. And the goal, of course, would be to get the greatest return on your investment. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, given what I'm called to do, given my work, given my family, and all these things that are priorities, how can I best use the time I've been given to get the biggest bang for the buck in terms of effectiveness? And also, our goal is not success, it really is impact. In other words, how to impact people, to equip them to think God's thoughts after him and to have their life pattern after walking in the steps of Christ. And time management is a huge part of that. So I found that with these tools of one, honestly, intentionally, taking the time to analyze how I'm spending my time, doing away with time wasters. It's amazing how many time wasters we have. Thirdly, if we don't make our schedules, other people will do it for us. And what other people think are emergencies are not necessarily emergencies. But if we schedule our time and if we schedule our priorities, we have time to deal with unexpected emergencies or shepherding, counseling, crisis events that do happen. So for me, I found that this intentional focus on redeeming my time, how to get the biggest bang for the buck, investing my time to accomplish the work of ministry I've been given, and making sure that my priorities are reflective of my sense of calling and accomplishing the work that God has given me. And I found that even with shepherds, under shepherds who are very busy, that they do find time to where they can even devote, whether it's one night a week or even making phone calls or even at worship services, making sure that they at least have some time with people that are in their shepherd group. So I found that we have to be intentional because that's what Paul said, the days are evil.
I have found that I suffer from many people trying to fill up my to-do list.
Yes, sir.
And following Covey's advice of actually putting the things that are important to you, investing that time, redeeming that time, mm-hmm. putting mm-hmm. it on the calendar is great. So yeah. As we look at this whole effort, what's the hardest part of time management and how should elders address that difficult part?
Yeah, that's a great question. And though it may not at first seem as obvious, it really is a matter of the heart. Our behavior and how we spend our time is reflective, really, of what matters to us. And so if we're not careful, you know, as men or just as even as human beings, we can almost act as if we've taken B.F. Skinner into our heart rather than Christ, in that we can, you know, a behaviorism. And our tendency can be just to make everybody happy, to keep everybody happy, so that when, you know, people can approach us and deal with us as if we're to be at their beck and call all the time. And we have, you know, definite priorities of things that we need to get done as a sense of call. You know, Jesus didn't mind saying no to good things.
That's right.
He would say, I've been called to preach the lost sheep of Israel, so I'm not going to preach there. I'm going to go here, following that sense of God's call and pursuing God's will. So I found that to really understand mission. And Stephen Covey is also, he has a whole book on how to write a mission statement for your life. And through a course that I took many years ago at Covenant Seminary, a doctoral ministry course on the theology of ministry, we had to develop a mission statement for our life. And that was over 20 years ago. And I refer to it regularly. And it's like a compass. It gives me tracks to run on that helps me to stay intentional. So also part of the shepherding is shepherding expectations of your sheep in terms of reflect how your time is going to reflect, you know, Christ's priorities for his people. So in terms of equipping and teaching and doing the work of an evangelist, all of that are specific calls that we've been given. And so part of shepherding our people is also helping them to understand more concertedly proper expectation, and not just simply being, as it were, a chaplain, you know, just there to marry them and bury them, as it were, but that you're also there to equip them to do the work of ministry with you. And so that priority has to be built into not only your schedule, but how you lead.
Yeah, one of the pertinent points I think that you brought up, there was a lot there in your answers, excellent and very helpful, was saying no, the importance of saying no. And so I'm curious, just as a little follow-up, yeah. You know, this is a day when people don't want to be told what to do.
Yes.
They don't want to be told that they have to say no, that they have to make choices. And so how have you worked through that with brothers who struggle to hear that, even as elders? I mean, we're all in process in the sense that,
yes,
you know, we're all walking with Christ, learning to walk by faith. How do you gently help them to come to the point where they see they do have to make decisions, they do have to say no to things, they do have to have these priorities?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and that's a biggie, because I found that people really struggle with seeking to meet people's expectations, being people pleasers. And Paul has a lot to say on that. You know, he makes it quite clear that we're not to pursue pleasing people. Now, it's interesting, in Romans 15, he does talk about doing that which pleases your neighbor, but he meant for their good, meaning reflective of what that which reflects a gospel paradigm for relating to our neighbor. That's what's really good for them, as opposed to simply their opinion of what we might need to do. Because ultimately, we have to obey God rather than men. So we have to make sure that we're walking in step with our general, who is setting our agenda and time. So in terms of saying no, that usually is easier in the stream of equipping and teaching and discipling, where people, that's where real expectations are really dealt with. When they begin to see what discipleship really looks like, when they understand what it means of being in relationship with Christ and how that's reflective in terms of your daily focus. I mean, for example, this is very simple, but it does affect a person's mindset. One of the things we want to equip our people in is personal daily worship. And it's amazing, as people are encouraged to not only be in the Word and prayer, but journaling with the Lord and spending, you know, 30 minutes or so a day as they're able, it's amazing how their perception of church and ministry begins to change. The Holy Spirit works through these means of grace. So it's not just my having to tell a person no. It really, where their expectations become changed and moderated by their walking by the Spirit and walking in the line of the Word of God. And so that begins to formulate and change their own expectations. The more you can engage people in the Word of God and prayer and beginning to model for them and equip them to walk with Christ, they are more able to themselves have their priorities reflect those things that beat after God's heart. And they themselves begin saying no to things that they didn't before, because it takes away from their sense of call and their sense of pleasing the master, as opposed to just simply being a people pleaser. So again, it really gets back to the heart that is being changed by the Word of God and prayer and the means of grace, and understanding the primacy of relationship with Christ and with others, and walking in the stream of how Jesus conducted his ministry, fulfilling the call the Father had upon his life and building the kingdom. And when your focus becomes that, in terms of walking in the nature of what the kingdom building looks like, and as you begin to engage in that, it's amazing how over time expectations become more in line with the expectations of the Father. And over time, and of course, you're going to have some challenges in the midst of that, because people bring all their baggage into their relationship with Christ. And so, but in terms of setting the North Star, ultimately, we want God to use us as he continues to build the kingdom. And so what does that look like in terms of a kingdom ethic as applied to my family, relationships, what I think, how I use my time, how I serve him even in recreation, how I enjoy God even in recreation. So looking at it in the totality of life over a span of time, the Holy Spirit works through those means to change a person's heart and life. And so those people then become easier to lead. And they begin to understand more and more that you're saying no, not because you're being negative or not wanting to serve them. You're wanting to serve them according to God's priorities.
Ben, we've talked about the importance of the Word, the Holy Spirit, the gospel,
yes,
being our resource for time management. We've talked about Covey, you know, great, yeah, secular resource for time management tools and philosophy. What other books or websites do you recommend that would help an elder who wants to learn more about how he can better manage his time?
Well, one of the best resources I've found is actually through the Redeemer Church, through the church that is pastored by Tim Keller. We got their training, equipping tool for training small group leaders. And they take very seriously having those small group leaders to be really shepherds. That's where the real shepherding takes place. So, I mean, they leave no stone unturned in terms of every area that a leader needs to be trained in. And so they do a strong section on time management that's reflective of some of Covey's principles, but where you actually are walking in step with the sense of call by the Spirit. It's not about behavior. It's about walking with Christ in relationship and wanting to be a blessing to people. And I know that there always will need to be a focus of even how effective shepherding appointments look, how to really ask good questions, get in tune with a person's heart. But anyway, but that's a great resource. Also, Paul Tripp's book, Instruments Being an Instrument in the Hands of the Redeemer, is also a very effective tool, not just, yes, in terms of being equipped, but then also how shepherding looks, and it enables you to schedule it effectively and to become effective to pursue impact and not just simply punching a clock.
Ben, there was another question that I had here before we draw to a close. If an elder is constantly struggling to find the time to shepherd, should he still be an elder? If not, at what point might an elder consider some changes of focus?
Yeah, great question. One of the tools that we use in terms of even as we are putting together our discipleship groups, our discipleship leaders are trained to pray for those whom God would have them disciple for 1 to 3 years. And we use an acronym called FAITH, and it stands for faithful, available, interdependent. Are they people? Do they enjoy being with people? Are they engaged with people to various degrees? And then T is teachable. And then H is humble or hungry. Now, even with terms of people whom you want to disciple, the availability component can be a challenge. Are they available enough to be able to be discipled? Now, as applied to an elder in terms of availability, there certainly are some creative things that the session as a whole or the group of elders as a whole can really do. For example, we found that there are some men who are especially great at shepherding ministry leaders. And so given the overall time, that becomes kind of a priority they spend. And that's a huge ministry. Some guys are much better at that than some of the deep level shepherding that we're talking about. Some guys are going to be more gifted at that. Different churches, it's amazing how they can do it quite differently, but overall they're very effective. And so there isn't just one size fits all. In terms of the principles, absolutely. Those don't change. It's kind of like when you look at a worship service, there's forms and there's elements. The elements don't change. Form can change. What time you meet, what style of worship music, those are things that are certain. There's room for making decisions under the guidance of the Holy Spirit there. And you make those leadership decisions within the framework that God gives us. And so even in the work of elders, there are ways of looking at, you know, even at a guy who is really faithful, who really loves the Lord, is walking with Christ, looking wisely at their time, and even equipping them and coaching them in how do they spend their time. Are they maybe more available than they realize? There may be some things they're doing that are not redeeming the time. And then also looking at helping them to understand and know how God has wired them in terms of their gifting and ability, their personality, and what's the best fit for them? What type of leadership oversight might be a really good fit for them? And also, you can creatively organize shepherding units in terms of, you know, one guy, one elder can't handle 30 family units, really. But I've been in a situations where that was required. And you talk about the guilt, and it's unnecessary guilt, because it's impossible, really, to do that well. So there are ways in which you can organize the family units so that a guy, you know, I think ultimately a guy is most effective at probably 5, at the most 10 family units. And some guys who are more mature, they might be able to take on a little more. But, you know, you have to be intentional. You have to make sure your people are well fed, that they are well cared for, well loved, well protected, and how to best get that done. There's some room for creativity of structuring. There's some room for understanding the best fit for the guys. And thankfully, we have we really appreciate the plurality of elders, all the perspectives they bring, even in terms of dealing with certain decisions. To me, it's a beautiful thing to be sitting there with a problem that's just really knotty. When I say knotty, I mean K-N-O-T-T-Y, full of knots. And you're just trying to, you know, pull a string and untangle it. But then the guys begin to share. They bring their perspectives. They bring their understanding. They bring their experiences into it. And then as you discuss and as you pray, clarity begins to come. And so with all those different personalities and gifts within the body of the elders, it's a beautiful thing to experience. And so there's room for working within the dynamic of how God has wired those men, and then helping them, coaching them in terms of how they actually spend their time, and then coaching, as we probably will be talking about at some other time, of what that shepherding time can and should look like. So there's really room for doing it well to accomplish the ultimate goal of ministry.
As we close today, thank you, Eric, and thank you, Ben, for giving some of your time today to help others in their ministry. Until next time, this is Bart Schoaf for Eric Wallace and our guest Ben Taylor. Uniting Church and Home offers articles and other resources on its website, uchlink.org.